Mike Tomlin with a hell of a quote on Sunday night. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin was asked on if switching to Russell Wilson with a 4-2 record was one of the boldest decisions. He responded with, quote, "That's why I'm well compensated. Thank you." And then left the podium. Just mic drops you.
Yeah, that's why they give me a lot of money. I got to make these tough decisions. But it is. I mean, it's a tough decision. You're 4-2. You don't normally change your quarterbacks. But I thought Chris Collinsworth did a really good job last night of kind of painting the picture of what was going through Mike Tomlin and the conversations that they had with him, you know, during the week. And I think that's why it's important. I know, you know, Tom Brady's not going to get the opportunity to do that because he owns the Raiders right now. But, you know, Chris Collinsworth sitting down with Mike Tomlin and Tomlin going, "I don't know what I'm looking for, man. I just wanted to see, you know, what this guy could do and see if he could be somebody that, you know, we could rely on." And they said, if we go back to Justin Fields, then it's done. We're not going back to, you know, to Russell Wilson. But I think they started it because it was more about curiosity. And the first couple of quarters were not good for Russell Wilson. I mean, he was getting booed and all of that kind of stuff. And then, you know, he took over and started throwing some nice balls out there and making some nice plays and doubled up the New York Jets and leaderless New York Jets and quarterbackless New York Jets. And Russell Wilson outplayed Aaron Rodgers last night. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Russell Wilson was the better quarterback on the field last night, and Aaron Rodgers was on the other side. And to me, Aaron Rodgers' days are numbered. Aaron Rodgers has played, you know, his last game, in my opinion, of being legit as a quarterback in this league. And it's only going to get worse for Aaron Rodgers. It's only going to get worse for Aaron Rodgers, and his legacy is getting tarnished by the day that he continues to go out there, because he looks like a guy who's never seen a football before. He stinks.
Yep. I'll give credit where credit's due. Russell Wilson was good last night.
Really good. Yep.
He did have one horrendous throw that was like,
yeah, that first throw he threw, and I even tweeted that. Nice throw, Russ.
just the butterflies. They win 37-15 last night over the Jets.
But I want to bring this up. I think this is the greatest defense in Chiefs history.
Okay.
They have not allowed 30 points. And trust me, I know I wasn't alive when they had that defense, right, which was Delaney and Buchanan and all those guys.
Like, well, you got your names wrong, but I get what you're going with right there. That's fine.
Those names aren't right?
No.
Joe Delaney?
Joe Delaney was a running back.
I'm sorry, Buck Buchanan.
Buck Buchanan, Bobby Bell, Willie Lanier.
Lanier is who I was thinking of.
Defensive back, whoever it was back in the day.
Right. Anyways.
But those are all Hall of Famers.
And then there's the 90s Chiefs, right? DT, Neil Smith, you know, Dan Salamua was a defensive tackle that a lot of people loved, and they were good. But this defense, it's like the best way to describe it is like everything supports itself.
No doubt.
And with that, it just makes it this conglomerate. Like, you look at Leo Chenal was able to cover Kyle Juszczyk yesterday. Did a great job. Sometimes Kyle Juszczyk is that guy when the Chiefs, he was that guy in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, he just has those plays on big downs. And Leo Chenal doesn't get a lot of credit for it or doesn't get a lot of talk about it, but was able to stop that. Chris Jones was able to get the pressure in Brock Purdy's face, which made him have nightmares and maybe throw, you know, a couple of errant throws that he shouldn't have thrown. Was George Kittle good? Sure. Tight ends seemed to cook against the Chiefs. And that was one of those things where, yes, Deebo Samuel was not a factor, didn't play really. Brandon Ayuk blew out his ACL.
What do you think happened to Deebo before the game? Like, do you think like just the flu or something
They said he was under the weather, and plus he was battling a wrist injury all practice or all week in practice. And George Kittle was their only offensive piece.
You said Kittle was good yesterday, right?
Yeah, he was great.
He was 6 for 92, right? And he had that 41-yard reception. But other than that, like, do you really remember much of George Kittle yesterday? I thought he was big in a very quiet way yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he was the only guy doing anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought he had every time they needed a big play, it went to Kittle.
Yeah.
And he had that big play down the sideline, which kind of kept them in the game throughout the game. But the way that this defensive line helps the linebackers, that then helps the secondary and the safeties, everybody just kind of like competes to be what's going to be the unit on this defense this week. That is the reason they win. Chris Jones's pressure allows Nick Bolton to kind of gamble. It allows if they do try to run, the defensive line doesn't get there, Nick Bolton is right there answering the call. Leo Chenal is able to get the outside. Tranquil as well. Trent McDuffie is one of the top three best corners, and he's not 3 or 2. I'd stand on that. 1,000%. And your safeties, the way they play, you know, Jaden Hicks comes in a big time, gets interception in the end zone. Justin Reed, big pick early on. Your offense turns the ball over twice. They did score on one of those, but they were able to force turnovers, create havoc, and every single layer of that defense complements each other, right? Like, mm-hmm. we mentioned the linebackers, Lanier and Bobby Bell and Bobby Kent, all those guys. And there's a corner, but we don't remember his name. There's, you know, defensive linemen that we don't bring up in that. But in this defense, in this day and age, which is unfair, right? Like, if Jack Nicholson could have hit with a metal wood, would he have been better than, you know, would he have been more power? I don't know. They didn't have that technology. Yeah, right. But the way football is played in this league and the way that this defense continues to show out, 20 points allowed, 25, mm-hmm. 17, 10, 13, 18. They're not playing bad offenses. They're not out there playing, you know, an aged Aaron Rodgers or a bad Cleveland Browns team. They'll play a Cleveland Browns team, but it'll be later on in the season. They're beating Kirk Cousins, who's thrown for 500 yards. They're not only that, they're stopping teams' running backs. Like,
every one of them is getting stopped.
And
right?
you could say, well, McCaffrey didn't play. Well, Derrick Henry, who's him or Saquon Barkley are the number one or number two running backs in the league. They stopped Derrick Henry. J.K. Dobbins, who was having a great year, was irrelevant. Bijan Robinson had a big day yesterday, was irrelevant against the Chiefs. They stop everybody's offense, and it's every player on offense except maybe a tight end. They're the best team this franchise, best defensive unit this franchise has ever had.
Yeah, and you know, usually I'm the hyperbolic one, but I don't think you're hyperbolic at all in that statement of saying this is the best defense that you've seen with the Kansas City Chiefs, and for a number of reasons. Let's go back to those 60s defenses, Hall of Famers across the board, but it wasn't a full-time job. There weren't a lot of teams in the NFL, AFL at that time. It was a completely different ballgame. Guys weren't working out physically tuned up the way that they are today. It just wasn't that way back then, right? So you look at those defenses, you give them credit, you honor them, you celebrate them, they're Hall of Famers, but the game is completely different from the 60s of where it is now. We're talking 80 years ago. I mean, seriously, like 60 years ago, I guess we're talking now, right? It's a very long time ago the game has evolved. And then you get to those 90s, and you mentioned DT and Neil Smith and maybe Dan Saliamua as a fringe guy, right? You look at this defense compared to that defense, and everybody loves those defenses of the 90s because, again, it was the rebirth of football in Kansas City, and so people are always going to be partial to Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and, you know, those guys. But this defense right now has legitimate stars on every single level of their defense, right? You've got a Hall of Famer in Chris Jones. You've got an All-Pro in Nick Bolton. You've got an All-Pro in Trent McDuffie. You've got a star player in Justin Reed at that safety position. Each level that you go back, you have a superstar type player, and that can't be overstated. And in a league right now that is so skewed to make the offenses succeed, it is much harder to play defense in this league. And so those are the true facts. And I know people will want to debate and argue and fight over, you know, which defenses are better, but I look at it from a different lens. It is harder to win in professional sports today than it was yesterday. It will be harder to win tomorrow in professional sports than it is today. And with the way that guys train now, the way that guys eat, their job is 365 days a year. They don't have an off season where they're working at the lumber yard or they don't have a defense that's led by just two players. This defense right now, in an age where offense is the standard and the league sets rules and changes rules to make the offenses have success and they call penalties to benefit the offense, for this defense to not give up 20 points since the 15th of September puts them in that category of the best defense ever. Now, if they fall off, we're having a different conversation. But if this thing continues and they continue to hold teams under 30 points or, hell, under 20 points, which they're doing right now, even the biggest, you know, Zubaz-wearing, Camaro-driving, Bush Light-drinking fan from the 90s is going to look around and say, here's the deal. This is a better defense than what we saw out there with DT. But for a lot of people, it is, for whatever reason, blasphemy to say anything's better than those 90s defenses, when in fact a lot of the times in the 90s they simply underachieved as well, much like those teams in the 60s. All those teams in the 60s, they got one Super Bowl championship and they got 1,000 Hall of Famers on those teams, and they only have that one championship. Underachieving. The Marty Schottenheimer years, say what you want, old timer, and I'm kind of speaking to myself in that age room, that was an underachieving era of Chiefs football. This is a Chiefs football team that is dominating on defense in an offensive era that is not underachieving on the field at all. And so, yeah, you can make that case. And I know people will scream from the rafters that we're idiots by saying that, but I find it much more difficult to win today in the NFL than it's ever been before. And the Chiefs are a marked team. Everybody's coming after them, and they're still punching them in the face.
They rank 7th in total yards allowed. They rank 4th in rushing yards allowed and 5th in points allowed.
5th in points allowed, yeah.
So, I mean,
7th in total yards allowed with this bottom 10 statistical offense is very impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's really, really impressive. You're right, because they're not getting the benefit of the offense going out there and putting 30 up on everybody right
now.
And
the offense turns it over at least once a game. The defense is having to at least have one drive where they're chopping the offense on a short field. Like, impressive stuff.
I mean, the turnovers that they pulled out of their ass yesterday. I mean, that CRW turnover on the far side, or I guess it was the near sideline, getting both of those feet down like he did and dancing along the sidelines. You're like, who is this gentleman? I've never heard of him before. But hell, what an interception. Looked like a veteran out there. And so, yeah, I mean, you can make the case, I would say, at the end of the year, if this continues the way it is, yeah, probably the best defense in Chiefs history. It's just harder to win now in the NFL than ever before.
No doubt. No doubt. And when we look at their offense and everyone says, oh, it's been a terrible offensive year. How about this? 11th in total yards in the league, 12th in passing yards, 10th in rushing yards, 13th in points, and 4th in third down efficiency. It's wild, man. It's just like,
I mean, that's wild. You go through those again.
Okay, they're 11th in total yards.
Yeah.
They average 360 yards of offense. They're 12th in passing yards, 221.5 a game. They're 10th in rushing yards, 128.8 a game. They're 13th in points with 24.3, and they're 4th in third down percentage, 45.3%. I mean, it's just...
Clean up those turnovers.
Yeah.
You could be top 10 in major categories and top 5 in major categories on defense. Take that for your DVOA stats there.
I mean, my God.
Your talent.
My God. Unbelievable.